This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the Rangers Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a show we have in store for you. The next 30 minutes, well, it's the Rangers Takeover, which means it's your show. And you know what? We want to hear from you. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can also WhatsApp on the same number. Put a question to me or put a question to the main man himself. It is the legend. It is David Edgar from at Ibrox Rocks, the Heart and Hand podcast. Well, he is Mr. Rangers, isn't he? David, always a pleasure to be joined by you now on the Rangers Takeover. This is our 30 minutes, mate. We've gone big time. We've gone prime time. Firstly, how are you? There's no football for us to talk about, but there are still many things, mate, for us to get into.
Yeah, I am missing the football a great deal. It's back on Friday when we take on Stranraer in the Cup. But with all due respect to Stranraer, not normally the most exciting fixture you can imagine, but after 3 weeks off, I think we're all ready for it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter when it's a side bottom of League One. When football's been away, David, we had this problem earlier in the season. We had to, you know, go through some very boring international fixtures, you know, watching, you know, top footballing games, Norway versus Andorra, you know, all the ties you want to see. When that goes away, mate, and it doesn't matter when it's a cup competition, just glad to see the Rangers back in action, mate.
Absolutely. You guys have got this coming up, though. You've got a winter break placed quite bizarrely, I think, in a few weeks. So at least we'll be back. You'll be able to watch Stevie G's Mighty Gels heading away to a domestic double.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Let's talk about Stevie G then. Let's kick it off, because obviously the players went away on that warm weather training camp, and, you know, a little bit of time for the players to rejuvenate, you know, a little bit of recovery, fresh eyes and on that second half of the season, which is going to be a key one. But Steven Gerrard, you know, he mentioned that there's a couple of games here, a couple of friendlies, that he wants to see those fringe players, test them out. A total of 24 were used, rotated the side a lot, and he was asked about this and he said, look, have any of the players, have they grabbed this opportunity with both fans? And he said, if anything, they haven't. They've pushed it away, kicked it further away. Stern words from the gaffer there, and he doesn't mince his words. He's a very honest talker, straight to it. What was you making of it?
Yeah, it was very interesting, because exactly what you said, he picked out the guys, the senior guys. He says, you know, players like Stephen Davis, Ryan Jack, they can go away for a week, come back, and boom, they're straight back into it at the level they were at. Whereas some of the fringe players maybe push themselves further away. And that's what he's like. You know, if you get an opportunity, and it might be one game, and it might be an under-23 game, and it might be a development squad game, then you better take it, because it matters to him. And I think that if players maybe thought, ah, it's a friendly against, you know, with all due respect, not a great standard of a side, but that was your opportunity. That was what you needed to do to prove to him you've got it. And I think that once he makes his mind up about a player's attitude, I think it's impossible for you to come back. I think that he will give you a chance in terms of ability to go out and prove yourself, but I think the biggest sin in Steven Gerrard's eyes is somebody who doesn't want it enough. You saw what he was like all through his career as a player. He drove himself on, he drove his team on, and he's like that as a manager. I think that if you aren't prepared to bust a gut pretty much every single day in training, and whenever you get a game, and it might be against an unfashionable side, it might be a game that you might think is a bit beneath you, but if that's your attitude, then you'll be out the door. And again, he's got his core of players that he's happy with. He's got the guys that seem to be, if you like, the backups that come in when those guys are missing. And I think for the players who are on that next tier, I think a few of them might find they're on their way out this window.
Yeah, and David, that's kind of what I want to get at, because there's two types of manager, isn't there? There's that kind, you know, that we see the hugger in Klopp and Guardiola, give the guys a big hug, you know, arm round the shoulder. Then there's the next guy that says, you know, if I'm saying jump, you know, you should be asking how high. I know which one Gerrard is, but is there a way back for them, for these players, even when it is a game that's just a warm weather friendly, you know, a bit of a training camp exercise, that there's no way back for them? And this is it, you know, we're not here to make friends. This is a business. If you're not cutting the mustard, you're gone.
Well, we had this. It's become a legendary under 23 game at the end of last season, Charlie, when the Rangers took on a Rangers side, mainly development players, but took on a Liverpool under 23 team, and Rangers had some senior players in it, and they were 4-0 down at half time. And apparently, you know, it was Liverpool, of course. Steven Gerrard was, I think, a bit embarrassed. And afterward, he took four of the senior players in that squad and said to them, "You're done. That's it. You'll never play again here. Your attitude's honking." And he said only one of them came back in the next day and said, "You're right. You know, I'm sorry. My attitude was really bad, but I want to be here. I'm going to knuckle down." And that guy was Borna Barisic, who has, of course, gone on and since, you know, one of our players of the season so far, interest coming from Serie A for him, Croatia's left back. The other three didn't, and they were bombed out, and that was it. They were gone. So you're right, he's a man of his word, and he isn't a hugger. the players will say that you know, they've got Gary McAllister, who's, you know, maybe more of the laughing and the joker. They've got Michael Beale, they do a lot of the tactical work with. The gaffer is very much the, you know, he's the decision maker, and they know that. But he is very much in the mould of these more authoritarian managers. They say, you know, if they're on a, you know, a night out or whatever, he'll come in and have a laugh and a joke with them. But there is a distance. He's the gaffer. He doesn't want to be the pal. And if he says, "I expect something from you and you don't deliver," then, and in Barisic's case, he said, "Right, okay, one more chance," which he has taken. But it would have been, the other three were gone, and that was it. You know, they never played for the first team again. There were still some games in the season. They were done. They weren't even allowed to train the senior squad. So I quite like it. He said repeatedly, and of course managers say a lot of stuff, but this is borne out by his players and by his actions, which is that you've got to go at it all the time, because there's always somebody that wants your shot. And unless you are doing it game in, game out, day in, day out, you'll be on your bike. With Kyle Lafferty, he's just signed for Sunderland, of course. And he's gone because, by his own admission, he said, "I'm not really a big trainer. I'm more a guy, I'll do it match day and then relax through the week. Not at Rangers, you won't." And he was sent on his bike. And that was, you know, a guy who the gaffer had paid money for, a senior player, title-winning experience, but he didn't do what he was told. And I think we're very much a club that is, there is one guy at that club who you need to impress. And if you're a wee bit self-satisfied or you want to work a different way, he'll shake your hand and say thanks very much and you'll be gone.
Yeah, but this is it, David, isn't it? You know, and we can be honest, you know, we're talking about two types of managers. I suppose there's two types of fan and two types of player. There's two types of the player that, you know, when they hear that, you know, they want to run through a brick wall for their manager. Like, "Look, I'm going to knuckle down. He's the guy I want to be playing for, setting those high standards." And there's one who go, "You know what, I'm in this for a bit of an easy ride," and they're on their bike. But the fans, they just see it as maybe, I mean, there's one set of fan. They just see it as, "This is the guy we want managing our side. Look at him, you know, high standards. This is what we're going to do, and anyone who's messing about, you're not here. No one's bigger than the club. We're all pulling in one goal." And that's why kind of there is such an affinity between the Rangers fans and Gerrard themselves very, very quickly, wasn't there?
Charlie, Rangers fans love a disciplinarian manager. I mean, all throughout our history, you know, Walter Smith, Graham Souness, that is the kind of guy we like. We like a tough, no-nonsense, "I'm in charge" type at the club. That's always been our way historically. Bill Struth, the legendary Rangers manager for over 30 years. And incidentally, I'd just like to take this moment to send my commiserations to the family of Bobby Brown, the legendary Rangers player who passed away today at the age of 96. A real gentleman, a link to the Struth era, and he'll be sadly missed. But Steven Gerrard is very much that type of guy. And the other thing, Charlie, is it's very easy at a club like Rangers to think you're a superstar just because you're there. Because you've signed for Rangers. Up here, as you can imagine, Rangers and Celtic, huge, right? That dominate everything, even areas that don't seem to have much to do with football. And if you are a player for those clubs, then you can begin to think that, you know, you're a bit of a ticket. You can begin to think that you're quite important. And I think it was best exemplified by Neil McCann, the former Rangers winger, who said, "I realised when I got to Rangers that, well done for getting there, but the hard work began then. It's not enough to get there. You haven't done anything if you get there. That's great, you know, well done, but they don't care. It's about what you then do And it's about then what you get and what you can produce and what you can deliver. And you're absolutely right, because he's taken a bunch of players who, when he took over, the ones who were there before were, you know, shattered. He's built them back up. They would run through a wall for him. He's brought in a lot of guys who are similar to that, you know, guys like Ryan Kent. And they, you can see that. And I also think at any football club, that when you begin to think, A, that you trust your manager, because you think he knows what he's doing, and his methods are starting to be successful, then you do begin to think, we might be on the verge of something special here. And that can be, that can further everything, because you can then take that confidence and it becomes a positive forward momentum. It could be like, you know, a snowball rolling down the hill, getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because the players, I think, sense, right, if we work as hard as we can and we stick together and we do what he says, then we can achieve something really, really special. And I think you're seeing that just now with the Rangers squad. But that does mean that he is very tough on what he perceives to be dead weight. That's going to be cut away. We're actually getting rid this window of a few younger players as well, not because they're bad lads or because they're bad players, but because they haven't quite made the grade yet and it's time for them to go so the next generation of youngsters can come through and try. So the club is very, very much in a kind of forward direction, knows where it wants to go, and anyone who's not a part of that journey, I think, might have to just be jettisoned.
Yeah, well, this is it. I mean, this is the Rangers fan show, Davey, but I'm getting life lessons here. It's not about what you do until you get there. You have to work just as hard. I'm writing this down as we speak, David. I can take this forward, mate. One of those players may be the youngsters that weren't cutting the grade. And as you mentioned, if you're not doing it, Zach Rudden obviously leaving for Partick Thistle. Another one that's just maybe thought he had a future there, but it hasn't quite worked out, David.
He's a good lad, Zach Rudden. He went on loan last season, scored a few goals in the division he's gone to permanently. Went to Plymouth. It didn't work out on loan there for him. I think injury as well hurt him. He's a good player, and I think that you know, he'll do quite well in his career, and he'll go on and have a solid career. But he wasn't going to play, and he's at the age now where if he's not going to play, there's not much. We can't keep sending him out on loan forever. We can't keep him about the place because he's a good lad. You know, you need to say, right, well, you're not making it into the first team, so therefore you've come to the end of your journey here. And it is harsh, and it is sad. He's been at the club 10 years. But go away, you know, take it as an opportunity. Okay, Thistle, it's a step down, but sometimes you need to take a step backwards to take two forwards. Go there, score goals, get your next move. Who knows, our path might cross again one day in the future. But I think Rangers do have to be quite harsh, because you can end up with a really bloated youth system that you're carrying. And then that's when those youngsters get, I think, complacent. For two reasons. One, that there's, you know, so many of them. And two, because there's no chance of getting into the first team. They're there. They've been there for years. They're in with the bricks, but they're not going to play. What's the point of that? That's not good for them. It's not good for us. So, you know, best wishes. I hope he does really, really well at Partick, but it wasn't going to work out for him at Rangers this time.
Yeah, I completely agree, David. You can't continuously send a player out on loan and hope that, you know, they come back and then they make that impact and then it doesn't quite happen. Well, David is staying around with us on a Rangers fan show because I want to talk about last year. Rangers were this close in the Scottish Premiership and then it didn't quite happen. It fizzled away, it petered away. They're hoping that this time it's not deja vu and they're going to kick on because it is a big second half of the season and we're going to be looking at what can change now.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Rangers fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined by the excellent David Edgar as we are on the Rangers takeover. This is your show. You can have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Well, we've been waiting for this winter break to come. Winter is coming. Well, guess what? Now it's over because Rangers are in action Friday night. Before we preview that game, they were obviously away having their warm weather training camp. We spoke about that friendly and some of the youngsters, some of those fringe players pushing themselves further away from first team football. But also on that, we've reached a pivotal moment in the season, David, and we all know what happened last year. There's no point going back over that and harping on this reason why this, you know, this or that or whatever it was. But they're in a similar situation at this point after Christmas, a new year. But they're in such a different situation, it feels like. Is that right? Are you noticing a difference in this season and why that won't happen from last year?
Yeah, I think so. First of all, I like the Game of Thrones reference there about winter is coming.
Thank you, mate. And, appreciate that.
Yeah, it made me think, you know, in that they had to defeat an evil gang of dead-eyed, nasty people emerging, thousands of them. Well, we've been to Parkhead. So we've already done that.
Yeah. You've taken that Cersei, mate. She's gone.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. You know, evildoers done. We're the heroes. We're the good guys. I'm never quite sure in Game of Thrones who was the good guys, but I was.
Who would have thought that we've gone prime time and we're weaving in Game of Thrones into Rangers? I mean, I'll probably get my P45 in the morning, mate. So we might.
Yeah, but we'll get free merch out of it. You know, just chuck his Game of Thrones stuff. Anyone is, you know, who works for them, we'll take any of that stuff. Last year. We were actually bad in December last year, in all honesty, very, very inconsistent. And we sort of limped through. We were dropping points. At the time, Celtic were dropping points, but theirs were more careless. With us, the team looked sort of dead in its feet. And it was maybe understandable because, you know, we did the Euro qualifiers, etc., small squad. And we got to the game on the 29th, and the manager admitted, and the players have said since, that he said to them, just go out and empty the tank. Everything you've got today, you know. And they did, and they got the win. But when we came back in January, at the end of January, there was not a lot there. And Rangers for the next 6 weeks or so were sluggish. They weren't playing well. We didn't have a lot of options. We didn't have a particularly big squad. The same players had to play. And I think that that emptying of the tank they really had, and I don't think it came back in the break. I think there was an assumption that it would. I also think that the way that they had trained the lads was to try and make sure that there was some fitness in their legs at the end of the season. Now, there really was, Charlie. See, the last few weeks of season, Rangers were terrific and looked stronger and fitter. But by then, of course, the damage had been done. So a tweak was needed there, right? Yeah, we want to be really fit for the end of the season, but equally, we need to be ready to go when we come back. And I think that the other thing about it is that he's very good, and this squad are very good at learning from mistakes. Yes, they do make mistakes. It's your new manager. It's a squad that has been put together over the last 18 months, and they do make errors, but they correct them. They learn from them quite quickly, and they move on. So I think the fact that it happened last year, the manager's alluded to it. He's mentioned it. It's in his thinking. He knows that this happened. The other thing was, last year when we came back, we had a lot of difficult fixtures. This year, of course, because of the way Scottish football is, it's sort of turned around. 7 of our next 9 games are at home, and we've had a lot of the tougher away games. No disrespect to anyone in the SPFL, but the games like Parkhead, Pittodrie, etc. We've had a lot of them just before Christmas. So, looking at it, you would think that realistically, these should be more straightforward to be playing at home, obviously, and that it should give Rangers the opportunity to get bedded in. But there will still be the thing in a managerial team's mind of, yeah, but we still need to finish the season strongly as well. There's no point that this year the team come back, they roar out the traps, but they're done by March. That's no use either. So it's about striking a balance. And I do think that they are aware. And the final point, that the reason I think it will be different, is we have a better and a bigger squad than we had this time last year.
Yeah, I think, obviously me, but all fans, we do get a bit drunk on excitement at times. And I know we say this every year and we're quick to forget, but it does feel like this year is different. But it's an interesting one because Rangers fighting on all fronts. Obviously, it's the FA Cup this weekend and you're going well in Europe. And me and you have spoke about the Europa League at length because I just feel what Rangers adventure they're going on this year. Maybe you never know what is in the hands, already getting through that group of death. And it kind of brings me to my next point, David, in a sense that if they continue this Europa League adventure and they carry on with this momentum in the Scottish Premiership, going toe-to-toe, and they don't have that blip like the one you mentioned last year, is there a sense at all that maybe they will have to start prioritising the league and Europa League, and maybe the FA Cup will fall on the wayside? Because there's this whole debate that sometimes, you know, a little bit of romance has gone out of the cups. And I know there's a huge proud tradition, obviously, in Scotland with those cups and the history that Rangers have there. But will we maybe get to a point in the season, well, look, we're still in Europa League. We're still so close in that Scottish Premiership. We do need to rotate a little bit. And, you know, that there needs to be a priority of some sorts without disrespecting the cup, of course.
Yeah, I think it's important for Rangers to win something, and I don't think we've won enough in recent years. We haven't won anything, so we haven't won enough in recent years to be able to justify that. And it is a challenge. The manager will have to do it. It may be certain league matches where you can, you know, maybe rest a player at home to a certain level of opposition, etc. Where we're slightly different is that for Rangers, and of course for the other half of the Old Firm, you've got to win every game. That's what the fans are like. I think expectation is calibrated realistically about Europe, though, Charlie. You know, we've got Braga, and we're thinking we can get past them, but we're aware that they're a good side and they could beat us. And it won't be a disgrace, you know, if we were to exit. Equally, if we were to go through and then you draw somebody that's, you know, one of the real fancy sides, one of the big spenders in Europe, and there's plenty of them left in this tournament, by the way, then maybe, you know, the fans, if we draw Inter Milan and, you know, go out and give them a game, but it doesn't happen for us, there won't be repercussions, you know, nobody's going to be upset about that. So, as an issue, but on the one hand, I can sit here in January and I can say to you just before we play Stranraer at home and we're going to rest a few players that, yes, of course, in the cup we should, you know, that, because every Rangers fan, we want the title, we want the title, we want the title. But I know that later on in the season, if we've got, say, Hearts in the Scottish Cup away and Steven Gerrard puts out a weakened side and we get beat, then there'll be hell to pay, because that's the way it works at Rangers. You know, that's the way the fans go. And he'll be aware of that as well. So I think that he's been good in terms of his rotation of the squad. I think the break came at a decent time for us without necessarily, like last year when we were just completely out on our feet. I think this year it came at a time where we could go away and recharge. But we will... you know, Rangers fans are... The expectation is the moon, you know. There will be Rangers fans out there that if we don't go on and win the double, will be gutted. But if you're asking me to be really coldly pragmatic, the league is above everything else this year.
It's an interesting one because, you know, all fans do it, not just Rangers. And then if he plays a weakened side against Hearts and, you know, they lose and the fans are in uproar, but he plays a full strength side, they get the result. But there's an injury to the star man, Morelos,
yep,
and Davis. And then, 100%. You know, that costs the title or that costs the Europa League game. It's the same problem. It's almost lose-lose in that sense, isn't it, David?
Yeah, for a manager, you get judged on what you win and people don't want to hear it. When Ryan Kent come back, and he got put in for the first match after he arrived, and he wasn't, I think, 100% fit, and he pulled up with a hamstring injury, he was out for 4 weeks. Of course, everybody said, well, why did you play him? But trust me, I was online the Friday night before it, and some people were saying, oh, the gaffer might not put him in, and people were like, oh, he's got to play. You know, what's the point of signing him if we don't play? So that is what football fans are like. We have the right to be unreasonable. Right, that's, you know, they get paid a fortune. We don't have the right, you know, to abuse players, right? But we do have the right to sit there and say, "I very good, but what you're winning 4-0, but what have you done for me lately? You haven't scored since the 70th minute.
You're only as good as your last game, David."
Ibrox, you're only as good as your last pass. And that, I think, is the mentality that fans will create. What will be interesting, though, is as it gets, you know, further along, is there's two ways that a season like this can go, where it is really tense and neck-neck. I mean, we want this so much, we nearly taste it, Charlie. It's been so long. And by the way, I realise that there'll be fans of other clubs who haven't, you know, won a title in 60 years laughing at me, saying, oh, 8 years, yeah. 8 years in Rangers' time is...
Yeah, but that's and that's what is the nail on the head. Sorry, Dave. It's all relative to your club. You know, we could talk about a team that haven't won a trophy in 60 years, but this is Rangers, and there's a tradition here and a history here, and that's to be upheld, isn't there? So it's different for each club in that sense as well.
Oh yeah, totally. And at Rangers, you know, because the expectation is so great that we've got a real shout at this, but the pressure that the fans, both us and the opposition fans at the other club, that the pressure that they put on their team will be interesting. Going back a few years to a title race in England, you could tell that Liverpool season under Rodgers, that the fans were so desperate that you could feel it in the stadium, and I think it did affect the team. Whereas the one this season, you know, right from the start, yeah, they're desperate, but there was a confidence about them, and I don't think it's affected the team at all. In fact, it might even have been a boost to them, and I think that's kind of what we as a support need to try and provide, and need to provide that backing as it gets into the tighter, tougher matches. And maybe if, you know, we haven't scored at home to a side, they've got 10 men behind the ball with 20 minutes to go, we need to try and keep calm.
Yeah.
And it has been noticeable in certain matches where, it's maybe not the most helpful thing in the world if you are screaming and bawling at your players. So we need to play our part.
That you always do. David, very, very quickly, because we're going to run out of time, just a score prediction for you on the weekend.
4-0.
I wasn't expecting any less. Make sure you check out David Egger at Ibrox Rocks and the Heart and Hand podcast. This has been the Rangers Fan Takeover, as it is every Wednesday. So make sure you join us 8:30 to 9 on Love Sport Radio.
This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.